The deputy editor of the newsletter, Ben Laurie, joining me this morning. Ben, good morning to you.
Morning,
my goodness, I'm looking. There's Nigel Dodds now also thanking Esther McVeigh for resigning. I said again, the DUP advocated Brexit. They are pushing Brexit against the majority will of people in Northern Ireland, while at the same time saying that this Brexit deal threatens the union. What should a unionist getting up this morning, what do they have to be optimistic about?
They have nothing to be optimistic about. This is a disaster for unionism. This is a complete triumph for Dublin and a complete climb down from the UK. And it might be falling apart. We've Esther McVeigh going and Rab going and the Northern Ireland minister. But in a way, that doesn't matter because the government has shown its hand. I think unionism, we have been in denial since the backstop of last December. I think we've been in denial because the DUP was propping up the government. Can I just express my contempt, somewhere between contempt and amusement, for the constant nationalist line that the government has been impartial in Northern Ireland because of the DUP-Tory deal? The government has never since 1985, occasionally in the 1990s, stood up to Dublin on anything, ever on anything. This is why I thought Brexit was a risk. I hoped that I was wrong. It has now climbed down entirely. And it's the most important thing to understand about this is that Northern Ireland never, never, ever, ever will be able to leave the EU. EU customs zone.
Well, now hold on. You're jumping. I haven't heard you sound this angry, Ben. I don't think ever.
I think it's hard not to be angry at what the British government has done, at what a Conservative and Unionist government has done. It's hard not to be angry about the fact that when I, for example, interviewed Philip Hammond in the summer. When he was over, he said something. I mean, I was fooled a little bit. He said, it's taken the EU a long time to understand that we will not accept a customs border in the Irish Sea. And I thought, wow, they're really holding on to this. Now, why this is all quite hard for people to understand, why it's all hard for even for those of us who follow it closely to understand is this. In a way, the government has tried to do something for Northern Ireland in that it's tried to make it UK-wide for customs, so that there is no customs border in the Irish Sea. While it's conceded this regulatory border more or less entirely in the Irish Sea, it's held out in the customs. But the problem with that is that England will not tolerate this. Staying in the customs union is a joke. I mean, staying in the single market is a big blow to anybody who believes in a pure Brexit. But staying in the customs union is a complete joke. So they in this fiendishly complicated text, as Jim Allister describes it, hundreds of pages, what they have done is made it possible, more easy for England to get out of that scenario and for Northern Ireland never to be able to get out of that scenario. So all the rhetoric from Theresa May, again, a moment when I was slightly fooled, I thought when she made her quite angry speech when she returned from Europe a few weeks ago, I thought maybe this is... shows a bit of backbone, and it's a complete climb down. The whole thing is a disaster.
But Ben,
staying in the European Union would clearly be better than this.
But Ben, can I remind you?
Perspective, no deal would clearly be better.
Can I remind you that this is a proposal? It's not a deal done. And my goodness, if you were betting for this to get through to the House of Commons, you'd be a brave person, wouldn't you? So this is not a done deal by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it isn't.
But so why are you giving up now?
The problem, well, no, definitely not. I don't think anybody should be giving up. I think I'm trying to, you were asking why I was sounding annoyed about it. I'm trying to explain that. No, that is right. But I would be concerned about the numbers for the following reason. More than a month ago, I think I was saying this when I was last talking to you, I was speaking to somebody who's very well informed in this, who's in Westminster, and as he puts it, is speaking to the people who are writing this stuff. And they said that the government had decided that they could get this through without DUP votes. Now, I don't understand how on earth the government is thinking that, unless it has been taking informal soundings with Labour MPs. Remember, there are scores of Labour MPs who despise Jeremy Corbyn, probably most of them think he's too radical and all that kind of thing. The government has denied that it's had formal talks with them. So could we be in a situation where a few dozen Labour MPs or something dramatic like that happens? But the other problem with it is this, even if it doesn't go through, and I think any unionist, of course, will be hoping that it doesn't go through, it's the declaration of intent. It's the fact that a government that came up with all this rhetoric in the desperation of a no-deal scenario, it didn't, what a shambles that it never prepared for no deal. It's the most elementary thing in any negotiation that from day one you make crystal clear. You charge ahead even if you don't actually know what you want. You pretend that you do and you pretend that you're prepared to have no deal. And I always worried what would happen when no deal got close, and this is what's happened, a complete climb down.
And if I heard you right, you said a matter of moments ago that staying in the EU would be better than this.
Oh yes, I think clearly staying in the European Union, which incidentally would be disastrous. It would be a humiliation for Britain. It would embolden the EU. It would demoralise that part, the majority in the UK who thought that they could do something about this. In spite of all of those things, it would be better than this.
So
no doubt about that.
So will the newsletter be campaigning or supporting another vote, another referendum?
No, I'm not saying that we would be doing that.
Why not?
No. Because I have just said that staying in the EU would be better than this. I've also said that no deal would be better than this. Of course, we, like all unionists, are shell-shocked at this, even though it's been staring us in the face. But we did have the fact that the government was reliant on DUP votes and it was always saying it would never let a border in the Irish Sea. Of course, it takes time to work out the way forward. And of course, the mathematics aren't there and the deal fails, that is better than this.
But why can't you be more optimistic that within this deal, this special status proposal for Northern Ireland, which would attract business into Northern Ireland, where Northern Ireland would have the best of both worlds, wouldn't they? Where they can trade unhindered into GB as well as trading into the EU. That's special status that would attract prosperity to Northern Ireland.
Well, if all this happens, we'll have nothing other than to be able to hope for the best and hope that that happens. I think I think I should explain why this is just not good from a unionist point of view. If Northern Ireland was an entity that everybody wanted to work, let's say 80 or 90% of the political parties were emphatic and wanted to work. Yes, we could even try something like this out and then say, no, it's not working. We want to retreat from it. The problem is that Northern Ireland is not like that. And so when you have any sort of division between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK, of course, there are people in the Alliance Party who are like that, for example. But Sinn Féin are not like that. They're Republicans. They want there to be an Irish. It's their overwhelming objective. And that's a legitimate, overwhelming objective to have. But they would never let a return from that. So it's the long-term implications of it.
Okay, if this deal goes through, do you think we're a step closer to United Ireland?
The short answer is yes, I think so, yeah. I think it is a move towards... let me answer the question in a different way. For anyone whose overwhelming objective is not to be in a United Ireland, what you would then be wanting to happen is that the entirety of the UK barely leaves the European Union, so that Northern Ireland stays in step with the entirety of the UK. But what I think is worrying for anybody who's a unionist is that the average person in the street in Britain won't tolerate that. And what the government seems to have done, maybe somebody will phone in with expert views saying that this is wrong, but what the government seems to have done is created a very complicated situation in which Northern Ireland, in effect, cannot stay with Great Britain if that divergence occurs. So while I wouldn't want to alarm anybody and say that we're closer to Irish unity, the inevitable consequence of that is a move towards all island structures
within,
when it comes to our trade.
Within our lifetime?
Well, yeah, I mean, that could happen quite quickly if the rest of the UK moves another way. Listen, the whole thing is a mess.
What does it say to you that in that cabinet meeting last night, the Prime Minister was able to emerge and say that the cabinet has agreed to this? So the cabinet has agreed to these different regulations. Wasn't unanimous. And we can see ministers now resigning, saying that this threatens the integrity of the UK. But the Prime Minister was still able to leave that cabinet, that five-hour cabinet meeting yesterday, saying that the cabinet had agreed to this proposal, including different rules for Northern Ireland, different regulations for goods coming to Northern Ireland. What does that say about how much they care, the cabinet cares, about Northern Ireland staying in the UK?
It's very bad. I'm, for example, very dismayed at Michael Gove. Michael Gove is a Scot. He's a unionist. He's very intelligent. He's always been sympathetic to Northern Ireland. And I would love to hear his analysis. I would love to hear him explain why this isn't a bad thing.
And Ben, we can see how over the years, we can see how sensitive people are to when they are told, you know, the Union flag cannot go up in Northern Ireland in certain places. We can see the allegiance to identity from all different sides of the community. If we got to a situation, if we did, where some of these proposals went through, and Northern Ireland goods couldn't even be called UK goods anymore, what reaction do you think grassroots unionism would have to that?
Can I answer it in this way? One of the things that has been striking about this is how subdued unionism has been since the December backstop disaster. Now, why is that? Well, it comes back to the complexity of it. The complexity of it means that really very few of us understand it. I keep making this point that I've been following it for years and reporting on it for years. And I am always having to go to experts. I'm always having to phone an expert and say, what does this mean? What does this mean? So that is one of the reasons why there hasn't been a reaction against this. I mean, you know, nobody's going to notice anything in 5 or 10 years. We're not going to notice, you know, you'll still go into Belfast and it will look the same and all that. That's not the issue. It's what you might call the glide path that it puts us on. But I mean, you know, maybe today something astonishing is going to happen. You ask about the cabinet, this really disturbing question that even if there are resignations, why have so many of them agreed to it? Is it desperation? Or are they going to pull something out of the bag to reassure people like me that this interpretation is wrong? But I'm pretty clear in my interpretation that it's a complete climb down. That the Brexit is a mess. I think Britain wasn't realistic about the fact that it went through by 52-48 with two countries voting against, that there was always going to have to be a compromise. And I think the other blow point in this journey, there were three things. First of all, there was the narrowness of the original vote and the fact that two countries voted against. Secondly, it was Theresa May. I remember the moment after the exit poll came through.
Just to interrupt you, sorry. Reuters, the Reuters news agency, is saying that Braverman has now quit. He's a junior Brexit minister. That's coming from Reuters on the news wires now. So we now have Dominic Raab, we have Esther McVeigh, we have Braverman, and the Prime Minister is due to speak in the House in 10 minutes' time at 10:30 this morning. Stay there, Ben. Let me bring in Brendan Mulgrew, the commentator. Morning to you, Brendan.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Ben.
So is this a great day for nationalists?
No, that's not how I look upon this at all, Stephen, and I listened carefully to what Ben said. I respect what Ben has said. You know, the constitutional position in Northern Ireland is settled in the Good Friday Agreement. This agreement, and I haven't read all 585 pages, but I've read the sections which relate to Northern Ireland. This agreement upholds, respects and acknowledges the status of the Good Friday Agreement, as did the Taoiseach yesterday, and as did the parties in Northern Ireland who would be more in the Remain camp than in the Brexit camp. And this deal is a good day, is a good deal, Stephen, if it was to go through, for the business community, for the future of Northern Ireland as an area which would attract investment. And I think it's noteworthy.
I'll tell you what then, Brendan. How would someone in Dublin react if they couldn't call, if they couldn't even use a label anymore to describe some goods as Irish goods? How do you think people in Dublin would react to that?
I'm not sure
how do you think regulations being imposed on people in Ireland that they had no say in whatsoever? Those regulations would be authorised by a country outside of Ireland having any say in it whatsoever. How do you think they would react? Because that's what we're looking at in this proposal.
That's a level of detail that I'm not across, Stephen. But I tell you what struck me yesterday. How has the Scottish Government reacted? How has the SNP reacted? They're opposed to this deal because of the advantage it puts us in. They're opposed to this because it puts us above them when it comes to attracting investment, when it comes to growing our economy with high-quality jobs.
At what price?
And yet some of our political representatives are against it for the same reason, because it differentiates us as well.
But the SNP want to leave the UK, Brendan. They want independence.
This agreement is about the future relationship with Europe. It's not about United Ireland or whether we remain in the UK. Those things are settled. They were settled in 1998. And people really, I hope, over time, look at this in a more long-term point
of view. Well, the deputy editor of the newsletter is saying this morning, Ben Laurie, he's here, he's listening, he can speak for himself, but he's just told me he does think this proposal would bring Northern Ireland one step closer to a United Ireland.
And we have the entirety of the business community in Northern Ireland, all the business representative bodies saying, this is a deal which helps us grow the economy of this place. What would actually make Northern Ireland a more settled place within the UK? What would make it more settled? A vibrant economy where everyone's satisfied, happy with their lot, able to look out for their kids getting jobs and staying here? Would that not make us more settled and more content within the UK? Or do we want to continue with an economy which is outside of the main chance, outside of the main opportunities, which is going to actively make people look elsewhere for their constitutional future? A settled, vibrant Northern Ireland, that's the way to guarantee the status of Northern Ireland within the UK.
How did that Ben respond to you?
That's all set out in the 1988 agreement.
There is one point I'd agree with, Brendan, and I think we have to, those of us who are pretty strong and not wanting to dilute the union, have to acknowledge who has been vocal in this in defence of unionism. You know, where are the businessmen who've come up and spoken about the implications of it? Remember, Stephen, I was saying to you when I was on this before, I initially thought, well, maybe we could have the best of both worlds. We all like the thought of the best of both worlds. It sounds superficially attractive. But unfortunately, my concern is that we effectively leave the internal UK market. I'm not aware of any other country in the world, major nation state, where a part of the UK, a part of that country does not have an unfettered internal trade. Where have these business people been? Where have these economists been? Where have these people who could have stood up and explained to people what it all means? They haven't. They've been often very vocal in defence of the position that Brendan is taking. Alliance Party has strongly taken the position that Brendan has taken. You know, what in Northern Ireland, if we're not going to have people who are going to stand up and defend some of these things? I mean, another thing that I write and talk a lot about is the legacy of the Troubles. We don't even get that many people who stand up and speak up against the IRA narrative. So if we're not going to have people defending these things, then can you imagine how London, under pressure, can just say, well, there's a lot of support in Northern Ireland for a border in the Irish Sea and nobody will really complain.
David in East Belfast. Morning, David.
Good morning, Stephen. You know, I agree with Ben from the point of view that I think that Northern Ireland would never be completely free of Europe. I am actually chuckling as I see the cabinet fall apart. I shouldn't be, but I could see this coming 2.5 years ago. That's why I was one of the first people to vote no, we're staying in the EU. Because the whole thing has been a waste of time, a waste of energy, and it has unfocused discussions on more important issues than what we're talking about today. I think the lady from Limerick who wrote about a week or two ago in the Belfast Telegraph hit the nail on the head when they said London doesn't really care very much about us, really doesn't want us, and certainly Dublin don't either because they haven't the economy to support us.
David, thank you. Tommy, morning, Tommy. Hello, Tommy.
Hello, how you doing?
Go ahead, Tommy.
Listen, our minister for the north of Ireland, she was hopeless. She was just looking for an excuse to get away out, and she got it. And I'm listening to all your eloquent speakers there this morning, and you know, we have a handful of politicians, and they're not sitting up in a house in the hill, and they're making decisions for us that maybe we don't want. And I think they should be sitting there talking among themselves and talking to people. They're not talking to people on the ground. And that should be more important than Brexit, getting our parliament going up at Stormont first before anything.
Ben Laurie, do you think Jeremy Corbyn is better now for Northern Ireland? Obviously, you're speaking from a unionist perspective. Than a Tory-led Prime Minister?
No, and that is part of the problem for unionism. Every option is looking bad. No, of course not. You know, I was critical there of Philip Hammond and Theresa May not standing up to their word. No, these people are unionists. The point is that they were unionist up to a point. I think the other thing I keep talking about being in denial, what we were in denial as unionists, look, we're 3% of the UK, or 4%. So we're what, 1% of Europe? No, is it much less than 1% of Europe? Half a percent, quarter of a percent. Did we ever really think that when it got to the crunch, we would be able to hold things up? No, Corbyn would be a disaster. No, he wants Irish unity, and he would enforce some sort of deal on more or less Sinn Féin's terms.
I wonder what Sinn Féin's thinking this morning. I wonder what they're thinking this morning. John in South Belfast. Morning, John.
Stephen.
Yes, John.
Listen, I'm very surprised at you being surprised at Ben being so angry. You forget Ben is a unionist budgeteer. You know, now, the thing is, you made a point at the very start of the programme, which it could be a good thing for Northern Ireland. This could be a good deal for Northern Ireland. You know, But the DUP kept telling us...
Another one's gone, by the way. Sorry to interrupt. Anne-Marie Trevelyan has resigned as a parliamentary private secretary in the Department for Education. Carry on, John.
Well, if she keeps going... If they keep going the way they're going, she's a male building among the left. But anyway, listen, you know, the DUP kept telling us that, you know, all they're concerned about is the people of Northern Ireland, Ulster, and we're looking after the interests of people in Northern Ireland and all this. The cap can was that, hey, if you can see that this could be a good deal for Northern Ireland, because we have the best of both worlds here, right? It could be a good deal. Why is the DUP, Ben and Norrie, Ulster Unionist, why are they not backing this deal up? Why are they not backing the deal up if it's so good, if it can be a good thing for Northern Ireland? Why are they not backing this up?
Because it risks the in Northern Ireland's place in the UK, according to them.
Listen, the UK have showed Northern Ireland what to think of them. You can't deny it. They've showed Northern Ireland what to think of them. They've duped the dupers, as you say.
The duppers?
The duppers. They've duped the duppers. It's as simple as that. It's dead simple. That's how simple it is. That's what to think of them. So... Don't see this nonsense that Britain care about us. It doesn't matter whether they care about us or not. I'm not disputing that. And the thing is...
All right. Listen, we're out of time. But thank you, John. Ben Laurie, I haven't heard you like this in a long time. Thank you for coming on this morning.